Dr. Roberts, thank you very much for joining me today. We've got four districts to cover. Let's start with the 6th District, covering the Shenandoah Valley, goes south to Roanoke. It's an open seat this year with the retirement of longtime Republican Representative Bob Goodlatte. The Republicans in this conservative district already have Ben Klein as their nominee, but the Democrats not going to find out until June 12th. What is the Democratic side looking like?
They have four candidates, and they're competing for the Democratic nomination to go after Ben Klein in probably one of the most Republican House districts in the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it goes about 70% Republican in a typical House race, and that was designed to do that when they gerrymandered it back in 2000.
And what is it looking like? Depending on who wins in the Democratic primary, what are the Democrats' chances? Any better this year? Or do you think this is safely Republican in the 6th?
It would, most experts would say safely Republican, but there's a wild card in the district, which is the pipeline. And so you have a lot of Republicans, conservative, libertarians, who are very upset about the pipeline.
Because of property rights, from their perspective,
property
mainly.
Rights perspectives. It's a strange coalition between the environmentalists and the property right advocates. In other words, Virginia has had a long history of trying to block eminent domain and those types of issues. And pipelines, believe it or not, because they are considered a public utility, and they're not subject to this pipeline is not subject generally to state regulation. It's subject to federal regulation because it involves interstate commerce. It raises all these libertarian government issues. So and a number of the Democratic candidates, in particular, Jen Lewis, is using that as one of her primary reasons why she's running. So it's going to be very interesting what happens in terms of whether that issue plays a major role in the primary, and it could.
Well, heading north to the 10th District, no pipeline issue there. That covers Winchester and a big chunk of northern Virginia over to the D.C. suburbs. And the June 12th primary is going to figure there as well. That district went for Hillary Clinton by 10 points in 2016, and this is considered a big pickup opportunity for Democrats.
That is the district that the Democrats thought they would have won last time.
Mm-hmm.
Barbara Comstock has been there for a couple of terms.
She's the Republican incumbent.
She tries to distance herself from Republican, for example, from Trump. There are 6 Democrats competing for that race. It's going to be a real nail-biter in terms of there are a couple of candidates who have raised a lot of money. Most of the candidates have raised a good deal of money. And it's not clear what's going to happen in terms of that race, in terms of what Democrat is going to come out of that race, and then how effective they'll be against Comstock. But the Democrats nationally expect that they can pick up that seat. Comstock has proven very, very effective in terms of distancing themselves from Trump, so we'll see what happens. If they're going to get control of the House, they're going to have to take that seat, at least that seat back.
On to the 5th District, which covers a big chunk of Southside, also Charlottesville up to the D.C. suburbs, mostly rural district. And we already have our candidates there. Leslie Coburn is the Democrat. And as of last Saturday, Nelson County distillery owner Denver Riggleman, who after Tom Garrett's surprising withdrawal from the race a little over a week ago, Riggleman now the nominee on the Republican side. What is that race looking like? Still Republican?
I mean, it was so gerrymandered back in 2000 that the only very moderate areas of that district in your listening audience would be Charlottesville and Nelson County, Albemarle County. The rest of the district is so conservative again, you've got the pipeline issue, which is a major issue in that district. Riggleman is not well known in the district. I mean, he did run for governor. The Republicans are happy with that choice. In a strange quirk of events, Cynthia Dunbar, who had lost the nomination
in the sixth,
was running for the nomination. No, that's awful. You don't have people forget that under the U.S. Constitution, you don't have to be a resident of the district to run in it.
You just have to be a resident of the state.
Have to be a resident of the state.
Right.
So she did. She was doing. In fact, it looked like it was going to be a tight race. Even she had organized fairly well among the committee, but Riggleman came out at the end and won that one. So that was a quirk of politics, running for a House nomination in 2 different districts in the same year. So it's going to be interesting whether he's going to be able to put together a campaign, how much money he'll get, and whether the how much support the Republican Party will give him. They badly need to keep that seat. Mr. Perriello won that district.
Tom Perriello, the Democrat.
Yeah, won that district in one time. And so it's possible for the Democrat to win it, but they would have to somehow get some Republicans, to independents, to switch over.
Now, I think it's been about 10 years, hasn't it, since a Democrat won that seat.
Yeah.
Well, on to the 7th, which Dave Bratt, the Republican incumbent, running for reelection.
There are two Democrats running for the nomination and against Congressman Bratt. And so Spangberger and Ward are the two Democrats running for that nomination. And most expect that she'll win it. That's what the conventional wisdom.
That's Abigail Spangberger, the woman
Abigail,
in the race. Yeah,
that she'll win it. Former CIA and national security expert. And that's considered also as one of the most competitive House races in the country.
Okay.
Because it used to be, the 7th used to be mainly rural, but because Henrico County and parts of Chesterfield County have now become more Democratic, that's more winnable for a Democrat than it has been in the past. So the Democrats are hoping that they're going to be able to put together a coalition in that district. So the Democrats are really targeting in the state those the 10th and the 7th as seats they need to pick up.
And it sounds like Democrats are counting on a big turnout around the Richmond suburbs in the 7th,
correct,
maybe to help them.
In the 7th, Richmond suburbs are heavily in terms of involved in that district. It's going to be a well-funded race.
And it's a different story for the statewide Senate race.
Right.
Democrat is the incumbent, Tim Kaine.
Right.
And among the three Republicans, we've got a real strong Trump supporter in Corey Stewart.
Right.
We've got E.W. Jackson, the fiery evangelical pastor. And then we've got Nick Freitas, who is a two-term state lawmaker.
Yeah, the Republican establishment wants Freitas. They want him because they think he would be more marketable to the state as a whole. Corey Stewart has very, very strong backing among what I would call the core Republican base. The conventional wisdom is, if it's a very, very low turnout
on June the 12th,
that he may very well win that race. And so the Republicans are hoping for the more moderate establishment Republicans. But this is such a strange time for a primary. We've had this in the past. On June 12th, who knows there's a primary? Don't even know there's a primary. And so who's going to turn out? And in past races, that tends to favor the more conservative candidate or the more liberal candidate on the Democratic side.
Any chance that any of the Republican candidates can beat Tim Kaine, do you think?
There's always a chance. I mean, in the case of the Senate race, the dilemma that any candidate faces is that in an off-year election, turnout is low. And therefore, Democrats do much better, like in the gubernatorial race, when turnout is higher. And the way it goes is turnout is higher in presidential race, and then next highest in the race for governor, and then the lowest turnout is in the off-year election. So you can have some very, very unexpected results if, in this case, Kaine is unable to get the turnout up. So it really depends upon turnout. And so he can be vulnerable. If those voters in those urban areas don't turn out, they have to be mobilized to turn out. The Democrats would much rather have Corey Stewart there than it would Mr. Freitas, who is considered more of a moderate.
Well, we'll be watching very closely on June the 12th and in the general election. Dr. Bob Roberts is a professor of political science at James Madison University and the author of numerous books on American politics. Dr. Roberts, thanks so much
Thank you.
For your time and your perspective.
Thank you.